Testament scriptures. 2 Kings chapter 6. There's a difference if I said to you, let us listen for the word of the Lord versus let us hear the word of the Lord. There's a vast difference. Many would stand and say, let us listen for the word of the Lord. And it might be you hear and someone else doesn't hear the word of the Lord. Whether we are illuminated or not, it is the word of the Lord. May the Lord indeed illumine us. But it is the word of the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 6. Remember last week we looked at iron, the floating iron, the message, come back to the Lord. Iron in the hands of God. You don't want iron in the water. You don't want iron submerged. You don't want your talents unused, your life on a shelf. You want to be used for the Lord, to build the kingdom of God as a tool and to be a weapon against the enemies of God and the enemies of the church. 2 Kings chapter 6, commencing at verse 8. Then the king of Syria, this would be Ben-Hadad, warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? One of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber, in thy bedroom. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him and seize him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Dothan is a little bit, maybe 20 miles north of Samaria, the capital of Israel. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? What shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Oh, to have such power with God, with such supplicating prayer. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek. But he led them to Samaria, about, again, 20, 25 miles to the south of Dothan. And it came to pass, when they were come into Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see. Three prayers and three immediate answers. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them. My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? See the influence this prophet had on even an apostate king. Called him his father. The term of respect, of a leader. And he answered, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldst thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. And he prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away. And they went to their master. So the sons of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Yes, I am tempted, having spoken on intercessory prayer on Thursday, to continue the subject. It certainly could, the subject of supplicating prayer and intercessory prayer could be certainly spoken of from this particular text. Oh, to be able to have such union, such communion with the Lord, to know His will, and that our prayers would be answered. Oh, for more immediate answers. Oh, for more immediate understanding of God's will. But this morning, I feel like the Lord would have us touch upon a little different subject. Crowds, multitudes, and numbers have an immense effect upon the average person. As with this host of Syrian soldiers, this army, there's often intimidating presence and fear because of the crowd, of the host, the number. And often what goes with multitudes of people is a dominating opinion, whether it be religion or morals, a mob mentality. There's a fear of the mob, and there's also then an influence by the mob. Is the multitude undefeatable? Is the multitude always right? Just because the majority thinks something, does that mean it's correct? Today we see how the Lord handled a multitude of Syrian soldiers. Syria sought to attack and subdue Israel. And then they sought to attack and subdue a prophet of Israel. That's when they touched the apple of God's eye. It's interesting, one individual troubled the army of the Syrians. One believer's intimate communion with God caused such an effect. Don't underestimate the power of God in using one believer to work in a community. A minority affected a majority here. A believer ruled over unbelievers, if you will. I want us to see how Elisha was used of the Lord to affect the Syrians as an example of how God's people and His church can affect multitudes for good. Because God makes a majority. God is a majority. Because the minority is with God. Bob Jones Sr. has a saying, and it's in at least one classroom, in every classroom in the alumni building at Bob Jones University, is behind the podium and over the blackboard is a saying, one of his sayings that he usually is very able and apt to make to assess situations and to help people think. One was, do right though the stars fall. But he also had a saying, you and God make a majority. He's absolutely right. And this is certainly a passage that indicates where he got that mentality. The minority is with God, and therefore, what of the majority? The Syrian army's plans were defeated. Their power was disabled, and their lives were actually threatened by one man being in touch with God. If God be for us, who can be against us? God alone outnumbers all. All the nations of the earth are as a drop of a bucket to Him. All the inhabitants are as the dust of the balances. Yea, less than the dust. You ever seen the dust on the balances? And we used to have a mill that was right near the Little League where we played. And every so often we'd go there and purchase something. I don't remember exactly what it was, whether it was bird seed or whether it was grass seed or whatever. And he would put the seed or the grain or whatever we purchased on the scale, the balance. And then he would tip the balance so that the merchandise slid into the bag. But always after he slipped that merchandise into the bag, there was no doubt a little bit of dust on that balance. But all you had to do was, and it was gone. And the Lord speaks of the nations as the dust of the balances. You know, it's high time for us to have faith in God. He is unique and He is great. Who is like unto the Lord? He's glorious in holiness all by Himself. He's fearful in praises. And the idea is among believers. He's fearful among those that praise Him. That's the idea. And He does wonders in the world. We need to exalt the Lord as one who makes a majority. And so therefore, whoever it be who's in union and communion with God is a majority. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who will not fear Thee, O Lord, and glorify Thy name? He gives the past, present, and future reasons. The past reason is Thy judgments have been made manifest. Who's not going to fear God? Look at His past judgments, the global flood, the Exodus, turning Canaan into a land for His people. All the overthrow of cities like Jericho. What did He do to all those major nations? Where's Assyria? Where's Syria? Where's Egypt? Where's Babylon? Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome. Where are they? There has been. But God continues to reign. That's the past. The present, Thou only art holy. He'll never change. God doesn't bend to man's changes. We are to bend His Word. We are not to bend His Word to agree with our desires. We are to bend our desires to agree with His. Thou only art holy. And the future reason is all nations shall come and worship before Thee. These same nations that we read of in the Old Testament, in a sense, will be all gathered back together again. I don't know how it's all going to work out logistically. But can you, in your mind's eye, see all the Syrians together, all the Assyrians together? Can you imagine if that is the logistics? What will they look like in the presence of a holy God? They'll tremble. And as we read in the book of Revelation, people would rather stay in Hades than hear that summons to come out. When they come out, they would rather the rocks and the mountains fall. And they die again than to stand before the King. the Lord as one makes a majority. And we read, God is a majority. There's no other God but He. Anyone who teams with the Lord makes a majority. Do you believe that? Are you afraid of the multitudes? Are you afraid of people? We need to factor the presence of God into our lives, don't we? Isn't it as simple as that? The fear of God cancels out all other fears. Every day, all day, if we could practice the presence of God, the Lord is with me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Isn't it amazing how Elisha wakes up and the man is all beside himself, and the host of Syria is in the foothills, as it were, around Dothan, and they're even coming toward him. And Elisha isn't battered. He isn't shattered. He isn't shivering. Why? Because he knows the God of heaven is with him. Lord, open his eyes. But Elisha wasn't rattled because he knew that the Lord is a majority. We need to exalt the Lord as a majority in this world. There is no other God but He. We need to entreat the Lord, secondly. God is with the minority. That is the principle of the Word of God. The Lord worries the majority, and He emboldens the minority. I mean, think about this. Ben-Hadad is angered over the Lord's work through Elisha. The army is blinded. The army is put in fear as they are brought into Samaria. The army is humbled that they leave with their tails between their feet. And never do they invade Israel the same way. There are skeptics that, and I'll get to this hopefully next week, it seems like a contradiction, a seeming contradiction. Look at chapter 6, verse 23. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. And then verse 24 says, it came to pass that Ben-Hadad gathered all his host and besieged Samaria. Seems like a direct contradiction. They no more came into the land of Israel, and then they come into the land of Israel. We'll have to address that at another time. There's no contradiction. Yet the Lord worried the majority. Even the believer's faith is awakened, like Elisha, to pray. Three times he prayed. He didn't assume. He didn't succumb to his fear, to any fear. And this youth's hope was aroused when he saw the Lord's hosts and saw what the Lord did. Jehoram was even amazed. Can God move a multitude of people? He moved a flood generation. He moved Egypt. He moved Canaan. He moved the Philistines. He moved Syria. He moved the Syrians. 185,000 were slain in a night. Certainly moved Babylon in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, and Medo-Persia in the days of Daniel. God used one man at times, because God is a majority. And He's with the minority. He moved the Roman Empire, the preaching of Paul, didn't He? Turned the world upside down. You can almost guess, or you can almost conclude without being wrong, that whatever way the multitude's going is wrong. You listen to that DVD on Wednesday, and Dr. McKnight said something very interesting. He said, I always tell my people to look for the faithful men and women of God by the fact that you look for the ones that are most criticized. The principle in the Bible is, woe unto you if all men speak well of you. That doesn't mean that blessed are they where no one speaks well of them, because that's not always the case either. But God's people are usually criticized. Our Lord Jesus was criticized. John the Baptist was criticized. Paul was criticized. Beware of the so-called Christians today, that where you have Romanists and Buddhists and Hindus drooling over them, quoting them with glee, joining with them in their meetings. God is with the minority. He can move towns. He moved Samaria. He moved Nineveh. He moved Jericho. He moved Jerusalem in the days of David and Solomon, in the days of Christ. He moved Geneva in the days of Calvin. London in the days of Tyndale and Spurgeon. Philadelphia in the days of Whitfield. God can move an area. He's with the minority. He's with His people who are in Christ. Do you believe that God is with you because you're in Christ? He is a majority, and He's with the minority. We need to exalt the Lord as the majority in the world, and we need to entreat God who is with the minority. We need to pray like Elisha prayed, and pray and pray and pray and pray. We believe that God answers prayer. He's able to move hearts. Be friendly to souls, but don't be satisfied with that. We need to plead with God that He will save sinners that we befriend. Don't be satisfied with the fact that you have favor in someone's eyes. They need favor with God. I'm thankful that there are people that God has given us favor with so that we can continue to visit them and they're continuing to listen. But don't be satisfied with that. Pray for them to get to Christ, for Christ to get to them. And isn't it not something we should expect, brethren and sisters, as we continue to seek the Lord? The Lord has given some open doors that no man can shut. But they have to be saved. We find that God, and I know in a sense I'm going outside this passage, because we find here that this army leaves town, leaves Samaria, and I don't see any conversion of the Syrians. I see the goodness of God that is with the Syrian army, don't you? I mean, here, their plans were frustrated in that Elisha kept the northern army from being defeated. They were blinded in Dothan and led into Samaria. And they could have all been slain by the Israel soldiers and the populace. But they were let go. They were fed and let go. This is the same army. And you ask, was Naaman leading this army? We're not told, are we? But why should we assume any different? He was the captain of the host of the Syrians. And I know there, if Naaman's at the helm, I wonder, certainly Naaman was not in agreement with taking Elisha, at least to take his life. You could argue that Naaman couldn't have been at the helm, at the leadership of the the general of the army because he would have argued against taking Elisha prisoner. Or at least say, we'll take him, but spare his life. But you wonder after what happened if Naaman was instrumental in pointing these Syrians to the God of Israel. Because after the next battle, we find that Syria becomes a has-been. Syria was defeated by Assyria not too many years later. In my prayer, and I extend this message to expect the Lord to awaken and humble the majority, and where He increases the minority by saving those in the majority. Okay, we don't see the conversion of the Syrians. Nor do we see the conversion of the Israelites either. I mean, that's one of the saddest things as well, that we see that the Israelites are spared. And during that siege and that famine that we read of in the next chapter, Israel turns against Elisha. The king turns against Elisha and the Lord. But we do see the permanent effect on all of Jehovah's rule and reign. We need to see the conversion of sinners and the edification of the saints. The minority becomes the majority. It was Syria's final flight, as it were, Israel's final fling. Assyria would control them all, but Judah would be awakened. The kingdom of God would be awakened. They say this was the times of the Gentiles, and they say this is the time of the Gentiles, but our God reigns. We should not be afraid. We should not succumb to depression. There's atheism. There's polytheism and pantheism, Allah, Dalai Lama, false Christianity, Romanism, Mormonism, Jehovah Witnesses or Arianism, hedonism, pleasure-oriented societies. But there should be evangelism and the growth of believers. This church should grow internally in our souls. And be glad to declare the God of the majority. He is a majority. You see, 2 Kings, and it's almost like meanwhile, the Assyrian or the Syrians and the Israelites are fighting. It almost, in a sense, takes you, it disappoints you. You looked at the iron swimming. You looked at Elisha's raising of the dead child, and you look at the translation of Elijah. You look at the proliferation of the prophets in the seminary. And you watch Elijah's life. And all it's almost like meanwhile in the world, the Syrians and the Israelites are fighting. But it's not so much meanwhile. It's God's people are growing in their souls, aren't they? God is calling men to the ministry. In an apostate nation, and certainly in an atheistic or at least a false religion, false religious nation like Syria, God is on the throne. He's working in His church, but He's controlling the world. If He wants to, He can step into the world affairs. The Lord sets up kings and He demotes them. The kingdom of God is advancing all the while, as we see at the beginning of chapter 6. Meanwhile, back in the world, the church has an influence. Elisha goes to Jordan to help the prophets build their residence and their seminary. But Elisha is in the world being an influence, being salt and light and leaven. And there's not a dichotomy there. For the world, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. God's a majority. And He's with the minority, and He can certainly increase the minority. But do we not see here that the believer is not to lick his wounds? We're to rejoice that the Lord is with His people. Even the fact that He opened His eyes to see all these chariots and horses of fire. And this is, I think, saying to us that the angels make a majority. God's people and His angels make a majority. But like someone said, never mind the angels. If God be for us, who can be against us? But even so, He opens the man's eyes and says, look, you see this host of Syrians? Look at the host around them. That in a moment, God could send His mighty angels and destroy a nation. He sent one angel. The angel of the Lord came down and destroyed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. And Sennacherib went back home with his tail between his legs. Do we not factor that in 2008? I do think sometimes we think that the Lord is king in the church, but He's not king outside the church. Because it's called the times of the Gentiles. And it just seems like man is doing his thing, and it seems like God has no power in the nations because they're ungodly. Because Christians are persecuted. Because conversions seem so few. And there's application here. We are to pray for our nation's protection. We are to pray for our troops. But don't you think Elisha was burdened that Jehoram did not seek the Lord? That Jehoram went for Elisha's head. Remember when Elisha sent the Syrians away with full stomachs, he exhausted the little food that was left before the famine. And Jehoram said it was tragic of Elisha to feed the Syrians when that food could have been stored up for the famine that was about to take place. And yet the Lord would, in His power, feed the Israelites with the food from the Syrian camp. Just like He fed the Syrians with the food from the Israel camp. Our God is on the throne. He's on the throne over Syria. He's on the throne over Israel. He's on the throne over Cuba, over Russia, over China, over America. We're living in America and we're praying that God would have mercy on our land so that we might have an effect upon the souls of men with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it wasn't long before Elisha died. And it wasn't long before the Israelite nation was carried or was taken by the Assyrians. And they became extinct, basically. The fall of Samaria in 722 BC. Not long after this. But until then, we pray for our nation to return to God. We pray for our nation to be protected from the terrorist attacks like the attacks of Syria. We should pray for our nation to be spared as long as possible that the gospel might go forth. That we might live a quiet and peaceable life in order to see our churches grow in the Lord, our people edified in Christ, until the day when great persecution takes the land. God is a majority. The minority is with God. God is with the minority, and God can increase the minority. We need to exalt Him as the God of glory. He is unique, alone. He makes a majority. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. We need to entreat the Lord to be with us in this day when the multitude is following evil. The Bible says, do not follow a multitude to do evil. We need to expect the Lord to work. He sent Syria home humbled. He humbled the Israelite nation. He humbled their armies. He humbled their city, their chief city, with a famine. God can work. God can humble a nation in a day. God can destroy a nation in a day. God can save a city in a day. Cannot God save individuals? But meanwhile, are we growing in the Lord, brethren and sisters? Like those prophets were growing in the Lord? Is our chief burden with the kingdom of God on earth? Do we have a burden for the kingdoms of men? Yes. But we're looking for the elect to be saved out of the kingdoms of men, because the kingdoms of men will be destroyed. The stone cut out without hands destroyed all the kingdoms of men. Do you see the kingdom of God in this world gaining momentum? Do you believe in a big God? In a small earth of men? Or do you believe in a big men and a small God? God is with the minority. He is a majority. And as Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, you and God make a majority. The church and God make a majority in the district that they serve the Lord with. In. Be not afraid of the majority of opinion. Be not afraid of the host of men that threaten the church and the host of demons. Only 1/3 demons fell. 2/3 remained faithful to God. If God be for us, who can be against us? God's angels are for us. Who can be against us? God is a majority. And we need more than ever to be pleading with Him in intercessory prayer for each other, for souls. More than ever, we need to be pleading with Him in supplicating prayer, that God would blind men's eyes to see how vulnerable they are, open their eyes to the truth, and show them that they're but one heartbeat from eternity. God frustrates the plans of nations to show them that they're but a drop of the bucket in His eyes. We have seen in the last 4 years Iraq crumble like that. Not because of the strength of America. Because God could have tweaked the situation enough where America could have lost. Do you realize that? We look at wars that were won because there were cloud covers for days. There were snowstorms that prevented armies from moving on. Someone might arrogantly say, how could America have lost to Iraq? A disease could have hit our armies like that. A fatal disease could have come into the bodies of our soldiers, and they could have died before that war ever started. All kinds of scenarios, divinely speaking, could have happened for us to have lost. Why did we win? God wanted to overthrow a wicked dictator and give His people in America more time to reach souls, the church more time to grow internally, to be ready for times of tribulation, to awaken the elect in Iraq, to relieve some of the persecution upon God's people in the Middle East. He's the King. He is a majority. Have faith in God, brother and sister. prove the Lord in prayer. Have an interest in your nation. Elisha didn't turn his back on Israel because they were apostate. He knew he was there at such a time as that. And he wanted to help Jehoram. He wanted to help Israel. He wanted to help them on to God. He saw that the Lord saved Naaman. Don't you think he had a burden for Jehoram? Don't you think he had a burden for Israel? Well, yet we don't find Elijah like Jonah fleeing when the Lord pointed him to help the nation. As long as he could help them, he helped them. But when time came when they were to take his life, Elisha represented the Lord, pitied a king and pitied a nation that fought against a servant of the Lord and really touched the apple of God's eye. God is a majority. The minority is with Him. There's nothing to fear. He's with those who trust in Him. He's with those who trust in Christ. And I know that the Lord is able to increase the minority. The Bible says there will be an innumerable amount of people that are saved as the end days appear. Until then, grow in grace in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Until then, let us be the church of the one another and have and fulfill our reciprocal responsibilities to encourage each other as we see the day approaching. Until then, befriend the lost, but plead all the while that they'll come to Christ.